Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League.
Playing this song,
it's just one of them songs that you never really liked from back in the day.
No, and 1998,
the association
by the way.
With this song just makes me sick.
1998, we had to go back for that song. But hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play Origin podcast. And I mean, clearly after hearing that song, we witnessed and watched. Well, sorry, I watched. Miles witnessed the first game in Townsville, and it was a drubbing. It was 50-6 by the Blues, New South Wales Blues. God damn, it was good. I'm sorry, we were absolutely like nearly flawless, really.
Yeah,
you can't even say much about
that. I'm supposed to speak during the. It was just one of those. Just speechless nights. The atmosphere in the stadium was just unbelievably electric. The Queenslander chants, just like, especially when the game first started off, just reverberated through your chest. Like, it was unbelievable.
Oh, really?
Even though there was only 27,500 people there, and you know, basically at Suncorp you would get just about double that. Yeah. And in Sydney, obviously they never get 80,000 there, it was just such an unbelievable atmosphere and everything like that. There was so much excitement around the town. Flinders Street, the mall was totally cut off. There was just people wall to wall all the way through the mall. There was free concerts going on. Birds of Tokyo. Played right next to the Leagues Club. They were great. Surprisingly, I thought the Veronicas that sort of kicked off Origin, like as the pregame entertainment. I wasn't sure if it was the Veronicas or if it was an audition for Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift 2. Just the way that they were dressed. That they were dressed, they would have fit in perfectly. For if they were going to make a Tokyo Drift 2 Fast and the Furious, the way that they were dressed didn't leave a lot to the imagination. But boy, them girls are skinny. Oof, man, they're skinny.
They are skinny. Is that the first time you've been to that stadium completely full?
Totally full. Yeah, I wasn't there for the opening game.
No,
against
full
the Broncos. Last year. I think that was as capacity as it's ever been. This will be a ground record for however long now, because they had to put up temporary seating. So that will be a ground record until, something like this happens again, or whether it's a major semi-final or something like that up here, like a grand final qualifier or something,
possibly
think about this. Look, the stadium looked really good and it didn't look out of sorts with those extra seats the northern end near the big screen. It didn't look out of sorts at all. Like, I think that would be a good expansion plan for the Cowboys if they ever wanted to do that you could extend and make have an extra 2,000 capacity if they ever wanted to do that down the road.
Mm-hmm. Look, it started off. Straight away, I thought, basically from the kickoff, and you just had a fairly decent set. And then Munster put that sort of boot up in the third minute, or the bomb in the third minute, and then Tariq knocked it on. A little bit later. So I thought, okay, so here we go. It then sort of, it was a hard-hitting sort of 10 minutes. And then from there, and I'm not pinpointing this for the whole game because it didn't determine the whole game, I don't get what Jaylee Cherry-Evans clearly knew he was impeding. I think it was Dvojevic, like competing Dvojevic to get to that bomb. So
that one was a fairly obvious sort of penalty, but you know, New South Wales sort of, I guess it was a 2-point shot rather than going for the six.
Yeah.
Just to sort of get on the board, but that was a pretty obvious penalty. I thought the next penalty that was given to New South Wales was, you know, was Kyle Feld running at O'Carr off the ball, which he had absolutely zero chance of getting.
No, I agree. But he still ran him off the ball. No, I agree.
There's a common sense penalty that comes up a little bit later as well. This is a common sense no call. It's a no call. Even if you want to go back and Queensland, I'm sure they had the right to challenge that.
They did. I don't know. He asked them like three times. He said, "You want to challenge?" They were thinking about it.
He's never getting to the ball. But what would the bunker determine? I guarantee you they wouldn't have used common sense in that. They just would have went clear cut. No, he's bumped him off the ball.
That's right.
He doesn't have eyes for the ball. He's taken Addo Carr out and it's over. But it's a common sense no call.
No, I don't know. I personally believe if you don't have eyes for the ball and you take someone out, you're impeding the player, regardless.
Even if you're 20 meters away from the ball and you're never getting there,
it's still taking up the ball. I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. You know, there's about five instances in any game where you don't think they can get to the ball and they still impede him and they call the penalty. So I mean, even Dvojevic's. I mean, he probably had a better chance. Boy, he did have a better chance than Addo Carr.
He was nearly still for the ball. So
I know what you're saying, but the rule is you're still impeding. You don't have eyes to ball. He didn't need to do it. I see. This is the dumb thing.
Absolutely not. I said, I
had no idea why you did that. He would have never got to the ball. You did not need to do it at all, but he did. And then it sort of went from there. I mean.
It totally went south from there because to me it was always going to be an uphill battle for Queensland pretty much after the 12th minute after they lost Christian Welch and he came out extremely dazed and went off after he popped them. I think it was a little bit of a raised elbow from Brian To'o. And he reeled out of that, and it's just like I think he's done.
He was unfortunately done for the night, and that was it. That's a huge loss, to be completely honest. I thought.
And you look at the game, and Queensland struggled most of that game gaining meters.
Yeah,
New South Wales didn't struggle gaining meters, and they're the worst type of people to lose. For the game is a prop forward.
Yeah,
it just is because they're the guys that you're using your interchanges on.
Yeah,
and he doesn't get a chance to sort of come back in the second half. And it was only the 12th minute. He would have only lasted another, you know, even if it's another 10 minutes or so, and they would have brought on fresh troops. But once they lost him, it was always going to be an uphill field position battle. And New South Wales did unbelievably well, especially in the first half, in keeping Queensland in their own end. But Queensland also didn't help themselves by not capitalizing on the field position that they had, especially late in the first half, because they had a few good shots at New South Wales, and
they did.
Absolutely didn't capitalize on them.
No, they didn't. And our once that sort of happened, and we got the go-ahead, it was the line breaks to me that to
oh
turn
my
the
God.
Whole game.
It was like 10-1.
It was 10-1, yeah. And I've already mentioned him, Tom Dvojevic. He was playing center. I just thought I'd clarify. He was playing center, but you could definitely be mistaken that he was playing about 20 different positions in that game.
He had a roving role. It's like a – And it's you, like what – what Queensland would have done with Greg Inglis playing in the centres. Just roam around wherever you want.
Well, you wouldn't have heard the commentary clearly because you were at the game, but they because obviously Brad Fittler works for 10 or 9, they had a they patched into him. And then just like, you know, when he sort of scored, and Dravojevic scored, and they said, hey, Freddie, you know, what did you think of that first try? So he was talking during the game, Freddie Fittler. I know. And it was only probably two or three times during the whole entire match. But he literally said after that first try, he said, what did you think of Tom's try? And they said, yeah, Tom does what Tom needs to do. I'm not putting him center. He we just let Tom do what Tom needs to do.
Yeah, so, that's right. You just let him roam around.
And my God, did he roam? God, my God,
up wherever he wants. Like it was.
Even Cherry Evans post match, like he said he was like he was positionless. Like he was everywhere, absolutely everywhere. I've never seen and I'll even throw Mitchell in there. Mitchell felt like he was nearly everywhere as well.
Oh my God, Mitchell was cooking Gagai and Coates on the left hand side, cooking them.
Yes, he was.
Over and over and over again. It was unbelievable how poor and mediocre he made two representative players, and especially in Dane Gagai, who's a grizzly veteran of the Queensland team, and he made him look extremely mediocre.
I thought, yeah, and once we got that, it was that middle. Once we got that middle, we cooked his in the middle, I guess, and on the outside, but definitely in the middle at the start. I thought that they kept going that way, and it clearly reverberated. I mean, it wasn't even just Tom Dvojevic's tries. Brian Toto's next two tries were set up by just sort of breaking that middle. So
Damien Cook.
Well, that, yeah, Damien Cook, but and this is why I hated the selection. Not to hate the selection, I should say that, but hate not having a backup is you could honestly tell Harry Grant was a step below of what Harry Grant
he was absolutely a step below, but he was still good though.
He was good, and that first 10 minutes I was like, oh great, Harry Grant's doing what Harry Grant last year, and it was like he was cooking in the middle. But you could then tell, at least from the TV, he was pretty gassed.
He was never getting through 80 minutes.
This is where, to me, you needed someone like I'm not AJ Brimson's a brilliant player, but he's not a dummy half.
He's not the versatility that they needed on the bench.
Ben Hunt. They needed Ben Hunt there. Or have the Parramatta, the one you already just all of a sudden just dropped.
Reed. But that's not the versatility they need either because he basically only covers your dummy half position and that's it. It's Ben Hunt.
Yeah, Ben Hunt. Look, and he was there. I get why you needed AJ Brimson in that side, although he only got 16 minutes.
They played them both on the field at the same time for about five minutes. Harry Grant only had about 10 minutes on the bench. That was it.
Yeah, that's all he had. So I think it'll change next game. But once we cooked his in the middle, that's what I noticed. You could even throw, it wasn't just Harry Grant. You throw Welch in there. Once he was gone. That's probably why we cooked it, because he's a pretty good defender, Christian Welch. So he usually tops the tackle for Melbourne. So
with him only being on for 12, 13 minutes, allowed Queensland to play Mo Fotowaker, and he played 50 plus minutes, which he probably wouldn't have got. And I think he was Queensland's best, next to their best, if not their best player.
I thought his
runs up the middle were great. He was pretty much the only person, even out of their front row that was hitting the line, bending the line, making New South Wales work a little bit defensively. Nobody else was. Tino was so underwhelming. He would hit the line of defense and flop straight on the ground, like no impact. David Fifita was in and out of the game. That's why when I named my team a few weeks ago, I thought David Fifita would be much more suited to being as an impact player on the bench rather than being in the starting side, and just say, look, don't worry about this edge shit, right? Go up the middle. Challenge up the middle.
I'd even throw Jai Arrow had a poor game for Jai Arrow's.
Lofty standards. He was ordinary as well.
He was ordinary. Yeah, look, once Tom's try and then, you know, Brian Toto's, you know, two tries. And then, God damn, Tariq Sims can throw a good cutout ball on that second try. That was magic, that cutout ball, where he sort of he was falling on the ground and that, and then he cut it out. That's a decent try, like 20 meter ball falling on the ground. That was awesome.
And you know what I see with that is close to the try line, you're not willing to give a penalty away, are you? So what aren't you doing? You're not tackling up top. You're not trying to wrap up the ball. You're trying to wrap up around the hips and wrap up around the legs. And what does that allow players to do? That allows them to get an offload, and that's a result.
Plus,
a direct result of that try. And that's the second guessing that players are doing at the moment. They're second guessing themselves. Where should I go? Up top? It's a split second decision. If I make a mistake here, it's a penalty, and then we compound the issue by getting another six tackles in our own line. Or do I try and, you know, make a legs tackle and try and tackle around the hip? And then they've just got free range with their arms. Players now are so skillful with offloads, even when there's players hanging off them. So when there's nobody on their upper body at all, that's easy pickings.
I will say that just because you're sort of half mentioning it was a pretty well refereed game. It was definitely a well refereed game, I thought.
Yeah,
compared to what I've seen in the NRL.
It was never going to be, you know, a magic round or a round after where there's going to be 1,000 sin bins and, you know, 14 people put on report and do you know what I mean? It was never going to be like that. We talked about it before. You know, the previous round set that up, that they had totally laid back on sending people to the bin and, you know, essentially just putting people on report and letting the match review committee deal with everything. And, you know, this game was no different. And, you know, you hear all the, you know, all the old hardcore legends and, you know, of the game and stuff like that. Oh, you've got to let it play on. It's Origin, blah, 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 blah. But then once Origin's over, and then we go back to the normal competition, all of those guys will be like, "Oh, geez, we've got to worry about the welfare of the players, and we've got to protect them from themselves." And it's, do you know what I mean? Like, they're talking out of both sides of their face. What do you want? Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't know. Look, it was well refereed game.
I thought,
but then I honestly thought like they did call the right. I personally thought they called the right penalties when they needed to most of the time. Like, I mean, and there's always one or two, but with those head eyes and that, I thought it was pretty sort of fair and bang on, because it was a little bit of both ways, but I thought it was pretty fair and bang on, to be honest.
Yeah, I think a little bit of both ways. There's a few high shots on either side. I think a lot more was made of the high shot by Kyle Feld on Cameron Murray. I thought a lot was made of that, and I didn't really sort of, and that's just going off previous seasons and not, you know, the new crackdown. Like, if it's on the new crackdown, then absolutely Kyle Feld goes to the bin for 10, but it's, I didn't see a whole lot in it. Murray was sort of had his side to him, and, you know, Kyle Feld sort of comes in and hits him a little bit hard around, around the side of the head. Look, the one that was, I thought, the most contentious one, and it wasn't even a high shot really, it was the Cameron Munster, you know, sort of, I won't say it was a kick, I'd say it was a push out with force on Liam Martin, where he sort of, you know, forcefully, you know, sort of just tried to push Liam Martin away from him after some pretty heavy contact after a kick.
No, Liam Martin definitely did some heavy contact, so I don't think
the carry on after as well.
Oh, and that's right, and I think it happens all too often to kick. I think you're well within your rights to do something. I just don't think you should be kicking out. I don't know what you thought. That was the only thing. Well within your rights to sort of push and shove, but not a kick out. So
no, it's a bit of a one-two kick out
after, you know, just before the count of three. So
no, that's right. This was a stand up kick out.
this was a stand up kick out. I agree. What do you think of the two St Mary's boys, Brian Toto, because they both played for the same club, Brian Toto and Jerome Luai?
To'o was unbelievable.
Yes,
like,
he was.
Queensland could not, out of 75%, 80% of his runs, his post-contact meters were insane. The Queensland just couldn't get him to the ground. He's just so powerful in his lower half.
Yeah.
And you see it at club level, and he carried that into it. Like he was so good up the middle in making those hard carries when they needed to give their forwards a little bit of a rest. And he was insane. He had 27 hit of 233 meters.
Well, you could tell. They were going to pepper him because of obviously his height and everything, but it didn't matter. It didn't stop him at all.
Well, it didn't matter because Queensland had, especially in the second half, Queensland had no quality possession down in the New South Wales 20. So how are you meant to test him out under the high ball when you can't get in the attacking zone?
It says on here that he's 182 centimetres. I don't believe that for a second. I think he's a lot shorter than 182 centimetres personally, but I don't believe that for a second. even Jerome Luai, for all, you know, the stuff he, you know, and a lot of it's well-rounded, like he's critical of, he really, really, really busted you guys in the middle when he needed to. He just did what he did with Penrith.
I've got a new name for him. It's everybody used to call Daly Cherry Evans Mr. Front Runner. Always good when he's in front, but never any good from when he's when his team's behind.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's Jerome Luai now. He is king of the front runners.
Oh, and he lets the other team know too. Hell, he lets them know.
Exactly.
So
and look. Whether you want to call it karma or the gravy train will end at some point for him, and we'll see what he's made of then.
Nah, I agree. I mean, yeah. I mean, well, you can't keep those two. You know, he's going to want more money sooner or later, and clearly he's going to get paid the most money if we're thinking Penrith. So sooner or later, he'd be just a classical, I'm going to get more money. Oh, West Tigers will come knocking. Cool. And then he'll just digress. Or regress, well, sorry.
Exactly, and that's what'll happen if Nathan Cleary gets paid as much as the amount of blood that he shed in the first half, then he'll be a very rich man.
I didn't realize it. I mean, you would have seen close up, but goddamn, not knocking him, but he's got terrible facial skin even before that knock.
I don't know where that's come from, because that's even last year, the year before, we've seen him up close and personal before, but yeah, he's really got some shock and acne at the moment.
Yeah. I don't know where. Well, probably, you know, coming on doing bloody TikTok dances with girls without a mask on is probably where it's come from. But anyway,
maybe time to invest in some proactive. But anyway, look, he copped a stray elbow from David Fifita on a run up the left-hand side, and just continued to bleed profusely for about 20 minutes. And not a word was said. Oh, here you go. We'll have a little bit of a blood bin and we'll wipe it off. And then, you know, it instantly began to bleed straight away. But, you know, just pissed blood all over his shirt and everything like that. And then, yep, not a word was said about it until, oh, no, hang on. We'll wait until New South Wales score and then we'll do something about it. I thought that was very poorly done by the officials.
That it happens all the time.
It happens all the time. Exactly. It happens all the time.
I have always been an advocate. I've said this during when I've seen it. I don't get how you can go on about head highs and all that stuff, and when blood's pouring into someone and they're near you, when they're feeding the scrum or anything like that, they're near you, nothing is said. You know, if they're bleeding blood, it's going to go on another player. Another player could have a cut. If I was playing, I'd be more worried about that than the head high.
I don't understand why Queensland weren't making more of an issue about it.
Well, I don't know either, but I just don't get why we stop everything else for everything else, but blood doesn't seem to matter.
I thought there was a little bit of confusion because they did rule that there was early on after he got hit, and they told him to go get it cleaned up after New South Wales, pretty sure it was their third try, And no, it was the second try when Latrell Mitchell had to take the kick, and they sort of took him out the back, cleaned him up, and then as they kick off again, right before it might have been 5 or 6 minutes before halftime, and they kick off again. It was after the Queensland try, and they're going back to the middle, and New South Wales has got to kick off, and the referee is just like, no, this is the second time now, you have to go off. So he sort of ran off, and then he ran back, oh, can I kick off? And the referee is just like, no, this is the second time for a blood bin, for a cut, you have to go off. You have to go off.
And then that's not an interchange.
That's what they do. Second time,
it's an injury interchange.
Blood,
it would have been a free interchange. That's why I don't get why he was wanting to come back on. It would have been a free interchange, as far as I'm aware, because it's an injury interchange. But
I didn't think blood bin was.
Oh well, I don't know. But the two standouts, I mean, was the number three and the number four. I mean, what do you say? I mean, Tom Dvojevic, we said he was everywhere. He literally was everywhere. But Latrell was unbelievable. I think he got 10 tackle breaks in that one game. 10 tackle breaks. He scored two tries. He was torching people, like you said, on the side. And he's very elusive. I mean, I've always thought that. But he's like a Greg Inglis type, where you can't tell.
Yeah, he is. He's got a bigger body, but he's still elusive and he's extremely hard to tackle.
And very hard to tackle. Even Tedesco, like we were saying, like, you know, any one of those two could play in the one. Having those three on the field, Tedesco was brilliant as well. Tedesco was, you know, doing what he needed to do in that game and nearly topped the run meters. So,
and that's what I mean. And you didn't really hear a lot of Tedesco. Like he wasn't a standout by any means. And apparently he had to get like a pain injection shot for like a hip problem that he's been having the last couple of weeks for him to be able to get up and play. And that's, I'm pretty sure that he's not named, this upcoming week to play for the Roosters.
No.
So it looks like, yeah, he's going to be many of a plethora of players that won't be playing in round 14 this week. Backing up from Origin, I think there's a lot of guys that haven't been named. Whether or not they'll come in, I guess we'll see. But I thought it was just a little bit of a point of conjecture. The way that not so much that Latrell, you know, like you said, Trbojevic had a very much, you know, a roving role, but Latrell was just so good down that left hand side. That they just kept going to it over and over again, and it bared fruit.
It did bear fruit. Each time. I mean, each time. Like that, it was more that left hand side than that right hand side. And then again, Tom was just always backing up there. You just seeing him everywhere. My God, I just.
And the thing was that with the amount of meters that New South Wales was making too, it Queensland constantly coming off their own line, which means that and the defensive pressure that New South Wales was putting on. Which meant the Queensland is kicking from the 30-35 meter line, and New South Wales getting the ascendancy in field position as well. Like we said before, you know, Munster and DCE's kicking game was pretty ordinary. Just could not get any pressure on New South Wales at all. And look, there was little to no pressure being applied to Cleary and Luai in their kicking game. So it was
a little bit at the start. Cleary was at the start because you can see I could see people peppering him. But then when they had that, I mean, pretty much after half time when they had that little bit of a 20-6 lead, it slowed right down. So
yeah. Just not getting into the grind of the game. Like, you know, I said so Mo Fotowaker was probably Queensland's, but, you know, best sort of standout.
I didn't really want to have like a start in the dud because it's pretty evident in one sort of game. But that's what I was going to ask you. Who was the standout for you on each side? And then we may as well start with the Maroons. You've got Mo Fotowaker.
Him coming on, he played 55 minutes, you know, replacing Christian Welch early. I thought his his hit ups were strong.
Yeah.
You know, constantly bending the line and at least putting a little bit of pressure on New South Wales defence, but you know, not really a whole lot else from Queensland, especially in their forwards.
Their forwards, yes, and I also thought Valentine Holmes had a pretty decent game. I thought he ran a lot of meters and did pretty well. Like he, personally, like he did what he needed to do. I mean, running, you're going to get meters running back obviously all the time. You know the amount of kicks.
Oh, absolutely.
Many times he had to run the ball back, but I thought in that back line, I thought he was the one that was going to most likely do something, except for that Kirk Capewell try. So. But
yeah, well, that was a fairly simple sort of try too. I thought that if Capel had made that one more pass out to the left and Kyle Feld had went in, I thought that the stadium erupted anyway when Queensland went in. But if it had been the hometown boy, like it would have been up 100% louder than what it was.
I'm telling you now, if it happened, I would have been louder because that's the only thing that ruined my multi. So. That was the only thing that ruined it because I thought hometown boy first game, you know, and he knows how to find the line. But anyway, yes, I think
just the lack of quality possession. That's all it was with Queensland, especially in that second half.
Well, I was going to say then who so much for you in the Maroons didn't really stand out. It wasn't that great during this game. Can't obviously 12 minutes. You can't.
No. I thought it was two people. I thought Tino was extremely poor and underwhelming. You know, I think it's 11 hit ups, 72 meters or something like that. Every time he hit the line, he'd go straight down. Couldn't bend the line. You know, getting wrapped up easy. No offloads or anything like that to try and create some sort of pressure. There was plenty of enthusiasm in his runs, but he just, he got met at the line fairly easily. So I thought it was him. And look, for me, and he's a grizzled veteran for Queensland as well. I thought Felice Kaufusi was pretty ordinary as well.
He looked a little bit of a step
back.
Later part
in that second half where Queensland had a plethora of possession inside the New South Wales 20, probably in the last 8 to 10 minutes of that first half where Queensland really needed a lift. And He's taking on Jerome Luai, and as he's hitting the ball up, he's using his ball carrying arm as a bumper to try and push Luai off, and Luai strips at the ball.
Yeah,
it's one on one, and Kaufusi drops in. It's just like what is that?
You're a representative. Twice,
you're
too,
an international player. That is ridiculous.
I think he did that, not so much the one on one, but I think he did that a second time too. Yeah, I thought he was.
Absolutely, he did it again.
I thought, I will go on the back of Tino. I thought he looked enthusiastic, but he just couldn't for some reason break that line. You know, for that large frame, you should at least once try to break that line. And then, you know, that is a large frame. That's not a small frame. So.
No, that's right. I get that New South Wales has got a big and powerful forward pack, but he's big enough, old enough, and ugly enough to be trying to break that line and putting in a little bit more effort than what he did.
A guy that I thought, interestingly enough, because I looked it up, was born in Orange, New South Wales. So obviously they didn't care about him in New South Wales, but he's born in Orange, New South Wales, which is very, you know, interesting. And we'll talk about that probably a little bit straight after this game. In terms of eligibility, I mean, on the other side, I mean, I've already named sort of my standouts. Was it sort of too hard to look past the two centre three quarters?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I and two guys that I thought that were terrific for New South Wales as well was Payne Haas and Daniel Safidi. They were massive up front. Safidi had 142 running metres on 15 hit-ups. Payne Haas, you know, had 13 hit-ups, 132 metres. Like, clearly, they're two, you know, New South Wales' two best forwards. A lot of the New South Wales running metres was made by the backs.
Yeah.
But I thought they were their two standouts up front, I thought.
Well, and this is why I couldn't work out, and he only played 29 minutes. I couldn't work out why Jake Trbojevic was your starting prop, because Payne Haas played most of those minutes in the prop there, to be completely honest. And you're right.
I don't get that selection at all.
Payne Haas is, that's a future guy, like 21 years old, you know, that is a Broncos one that I think you build around him. I don't know what they're, you know, I know you're Adam Reynolds. I think for Broncos, that is the guy you build around. There's nothing wrong with building around a forward.
That's going to be a guy that's going to be commanding a lot of money coming up soon.
Well, there's not, you know, I would build around a forward. They're doing that at the Gold Coast with Fifita, so to speak. So
right.
I would definitely, because he's that rare guy, and I think we said this last week, that can play, is so big, but can play 80 minutes a game and be a top tackle and top, top line meter guy. So
yeah, that's right. I thought Tarek Sims was really good too for New South Wales.
I couldn't really honestly find a chink in, like, I don't think anyone played terrible. I don't know if anyone played terrible. I thought Addo Carr was not to his Addo Carr-ness, but I didn't think he needed to be.
He was non-existent, really.
I didn't think he needed to be with
he what didn't was be. Going he on. Didn't, they didn't have to go down the right-hand side because everything was happening down the left-hand side. And, you know, when you continue to give your... If you're getting water out of that well, you just continue to go down that way. Up the middle and down the left-hand side was where New South Wales feasted all game.
Preview if we're looking for next game, unless someone's injured, this is for New South Wales. I don't think anybody – that's your 1-17 again. I'll be very surprised if that changes, unless someone comes up injured.
Injury is going to be the only thing that'll derail – that team in with team selections, they'll pick and stick with this squad. Maybe have a different 18th man, but
possibly. But you know,
just to give somebody else a shot. You know what I mean? You know, Coruscant Field, you know, was going to fill in this game. You know, you could maybe switch that around, but that would be unfortunate for him. Then if somebody did get hurt, then he did miss out on an Origin because of that. So that's the only thing that I can see. I think sweeping changes for Queensland.
I don't know. You can't replace the full 17, but
we got no players to be able to replace the full 17. Joe Ofengawi was a little underwhelming as well. To me, a bit of a strange pick anyway. The back line, I think, will stay the same. You know, in saying that, because I'm just thinking that Kurt Capewell is going to move into the second row. So that'll sort of give that you can put Valentine Holmes in the centres, to sort of make up for that, and then you'll still have Caulfield, Xavier Coates, and then Kalen Ponga if healthy, and if he's recovered from the groin injury. I don't think he's playing this week for Newcastle, so we'll see how that sort of progresses along. If Kalen Ponga doesn't play, I think they have to put AJ Brimson at fullback. I don't think it was enough for Val to be the fullback there. I think AJ Brimson will be able to provide a little bit more spark than what Valentine Holmes did. And like we said, Valentine Holmes played, you know, gallantly. Like he was pretty good, but I think they need a little bit more spark out of that position, and I think Brimson will be able to still have Valentine Holmes in the squad, but I think AJ Brimson, if healthy again, you know, he's got a little bit of a knee knock as well. I'm pretty sure he's not playing this week for the Gold Coast again, so he's not backing up even though only playing 14, 16 minutes or whatever it was, so that's not great news for him. Obviously, Josh Papali'i will be back. That will be a huge in for Queensland. The prop, with the prop stocks looking a little thin.
Well, you'd easily push either that. You push Tino to the second row or to the bench, or either you push Tino to the bench and leave Fifita there. But you're right, Papali'i needs to be there.
Either or, yeah.
Papali'i definitely needs to be there.
And you know, your utility player. Absolutely, 100%, with no equivocations, has to be Ben Hunt.
Has to be. If he's not there, I'm telling you now, if he's not there, you honestly lose. I really, really think if he's not there, you've lost. The names that I've been reading and hearing out there, and I know what you're going to say, at least for one of them, but yeah, look, Ben Hunt, totally agree, Josh Papali'i, totally agree. Kalen Ponga, if he's healthy, will be there. The two names I keep hearing, just for a defensive, I guess, standpoint, is one, Will Chambers, back in the centers, at a defensive, and he reckons he's still got the hunger. I don't believe that either. I don't think that makes sense.
He will get cooked more than a Woolies barbecue chicken if he goes out there, because they will run at him. He hasn't been that terrific for Cronulla.
No, I honestly think if you're going to replace someone in the centres who's been pretty good for the Eels, and that's Tom, I'd never know his last name. Is it a Paik? Player for you guys.
Tom Opacek.
He's been playing pretty good, and he's a very good defender for the Eels this year. He's been playing very, very good. It's worth a look. I think he's worth a look, at least. I don't think Will Chambers is ridiculous, but I think Tom Opacek is definitely worth a look. Depending on what you do with Kirk Hagler. No?
I think it could be a makeshift back line, and you either leave Capel there, or you put Valentine Holmes in the centres, and you move Capel back to the second row. I think that's a better option than putting in not so much an underdone Will Chambers and an untried Tom Opacek, but it's all well and good for Chambers to come out and say, yeah, I've got the hunger. Of course he would.
Yeah, of course he would. The other name that got thrown out, I think this got thrown out on 360, and then people will take wind of it, is I don't think this will only work if he's lose this game and go into game three with this, and that's that young whiz kid Reece Walsh. That doesn't make sense to win a game. You throw it. I mean, they did it with Harry Grant, I know, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts on that. Once you play four or five games, then straight into the bottom.
You can't do any worse, but Queensland's got the backline stocks, I think, to hold him out. You either bring him in as an emergency and just bring him into camp and, you know, guess sort of, you know, be around the team and show him what it takes to be an Origin player. But I think it would be a bit of a mistake, especially if game three is a decider. If game three is a dead rubber, maybe you could lean towards bringing him in. But nobody's going to give up their spot. Like if Kalen Ponga's healthy, if AJ Brimson's healthy, if those guys in the back line, if they're healthy, they're not going to go, oh, well, we'll give the kid a run. Like, no, nobody's doing that. It's going to be on the selectors. I don't think so.
I think it's
too early. What's he played? 7 first grade games. It's a super future for Queensland. You know, you got him running around. You got Sam Walker running around. So the future in key positions is still good. But I think the best thing could be for him is to maybe come into the squad. You know, if they name an extended squad, he could be the 20, 20, 21, 22, however many people they want to name in an extended squad. Bring him in, show him what's what, show him the ropes.
Yeah.
And then, okay, cool. You know, after a couple of days or whatever and go, right, you can nick off back to New Zealand and play club.
Central Coast, technically. But anyway.
Back to the Warriors.
Back to the Warriors. We mentioned it before, but just to finish on the age-old question, because it's come out of Origin eligibility.
Look, and I think this come out a little bit earlier in the year. A few weeks ago when there was a lot of chit chat around Jason Tamalolo. And to me, I think it's pretty cut and dry. He's represented two countries, not just one, two countries. So he's already represented Tonga, but even before that, he represented New Zealand, which is classed as a tier one nation. So that's it. Over. Discussion finished. Can't play Origin. Sorry. State of Origin is the pathway to representing Australia.
Sorry,
Jason, not going to happen. And now, in the news cycle over the last week and a half or so, it's come out that Jerome Luai, who born and bred in Sydney, Has already played 5 tests for Samoa and basically come and said, I have none at all in representing Australia. And Mal Meninga has come out and pretty much scorched that.
As he should.
That's right. This is the pathway for representing Australia. Already represented Samoa. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't just go, I'll just pick and choose. Yeah, I'll get selected for New South Wales, but oh, no, screw that. I don't want to play for Australia. I want to play for Samoa. I've already played for Samoa. It's just like, no. Sorry. You've represented that country that you have chosen to represent. So state of origin is finished for you. Done, gone, over, bye-bye.
All that is money-based, knowing that he won't make the Australian 6 because you got Cameron Munster there, so he'll go and play for Samoa where he'll get money for Samoa.
He'll come out and say, oh, I play for Samoa for free. The international players essentially do.
Yeah, but it's still money, but you get something. You'll get something to play that.
Otherwise, you do, but it's not 30 grand like you get State of Origin.
Well, of course, that's exactly right. But that's what I'm saying. He's saying that, and then he'll go back and say, of course, he'll say, because he's not going to make an Australian side. That's the difference. Huh. So... Oh, we're both in agreement to that. We're both 100% in agreement with that. So
the International Rugby League committee board, whoever the F they are, just need to if they want to grow the game internationally and not get swallowed up by all the hoopla, all the hype around State of Origin, is they need to totally scrap this tier system BS that they've got in there. And really sort of have a deep dive into eligibility rules, because they're a joke and people make a mockery of them all the time.
I agree. No, I totally agree. They are. They need to be completely. Look, there's not obviously like other sports.
It's got to be an overhaul.
There's not as many players that can represent certain countries, but you've got to work with that. You've got to work with what we have.
Island Nation players are everywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
In the NRL, they're everywhere in the Super League.
I understand that, but that's what I'm saying. It should be an overhaul. And if you're from, I've said it all the time. If you're from Australia, you play for Australia. If you're born in Queensland, you play for Queensland. If you're born in New South Wales, I know we've had instances and we're not going to go into it now. You play for New South Wales. It should be just literally as simple as that. I don't think it should be
they make a total mockery of the eligibility rules, and it's ridiculous. It came out a couple of years ago. It's Luke Keary, come out when he first started playing first grade. It's just like, oh, I don't want to play for New South Wales. I want to play for Queensland. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, due to the eligibility rules, you can't represent Queensland. It's just like, well, why not? He's born in Ipswich.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. He should be playing for Queensland. So I then that's
you know
the whole.
Like, no, just, I agree. Just stupid I stuff agree. Like that. It's ridiculous.
I agree. So looking forward
to
this.
That's what I mean. You go back to Greg Inglis, but it's all about.
I was going to say that one.
Played
but
football
that's,
yeah. after your 13th birthday, and nah. you've got to have if you have had 1 foot in New South Wales and 1 foot in Queensland on the 1st of December, they're a mockery. The eligibility rules are ridiculous.
A mockery. So looking forward to the second one being played in Suncorp on a Sunday. Quick thoughts on that. What did you think of that being played on a Sunday?
June 27?
Yeah. Sunday. In
Queensland. Yeah, it's on a Sunday. Look, I don't like the Sunday. I don't like the Sunday Origin. I like the Pacific Nations.
That's a nice. On a Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Too.
But next year, it's going back to all Wednesdays.
Yeah. I couldn't work it out. I was trying to think. I know why it happened in New South Wales, but I couldn't work out why Queensland did it. I thought there might have been a Brisbane holiday, but nothing that I could see is a Brisbane holiday. So I know literally the next day is the start of school holiday, so that could be probably why they've done it. So I believe it's
Look, I'm not sure. I think they were trying to make a little bit more of a feature of the representative weekend with the women's State of Origin, stuff like that as well. And then I'm pretty sure that they're having are they having internationals on that weekend as well?
Yeah. Yep, they are. So, I think I'm very certain they are. So And they're all getting played everywhere. I'm pretty sure it's not in Queensland. Like, in Suncorp. I'm pretty sure that women's game is being played. Sunshine Coast, yeah. So, I guess, yeah, that's it for our preview for game two. But, you know, going over game one, I mean, look forward to game two. I mean, like every time, yes, I want New South Wales to win. But, I mean, I'll always be completely honest. I love if Queensland. I love seeing a game three where it's all on the line. Always.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Decide as where it's at.
Of course. It's so much better. It is so much better to, you know. And, you know, you have every chance to win in Queensland, and then it obviously goes back to New South Wales. So that will do it. We are always on Twitter. Well, most of the time on Twitter, but all our pods are on Twitter, at Final Play Pod. We are definitely always on Facebook, Final Play Podcast, where you'll get, as Miles put on there, hugely breaking news of the sports that we're into, especially NBA, when it breaks, you know, in a matter of sort of 2 hours, about 50 different things break. So
that's what happens when you can't sleep.
Yeah, well, this is true. I'm assuming you're shaking your head because the Clippers came back and beat the Jazz to take a 3-2 lead. So, interesting. Well, my name's Jason. Look, Eiffel 65, go the Blues. Smith?
I mean, yeah, it's I'll be Miles, screw the Blues, Plum, and, let's just hope that the Queensland can make it a little bit more competitive.
We'll do a face-to-face one next week, too.
In the next game.
Face-to-face one next week. Let's stay previewed for that one.
We'll see what happens. But, I think there's definitely going to be some sweeping changes to the Queensland side coming up, and you know, a lot of it is to do with the health of certain players as well. So we'll see what happens in this upcoming week of footy, and we'll see how we go.
All right, have a good one, everyone.
See ya.